There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Yes, indeed. Good afternoon, one and all, and welcome along to The Ticket on Dubai Eye 103.8 with Shruti and Mark. It's travel, entertainment, and loads of what's on. Right now, we're going to catch up with Steph, who's been out and about, of course, at the film festival throughout the week. I've got a funny feeling she might be chatting to a Jedi today. You never know. Steph, what's the latest from you?
Hello. Hi, guys. Well, I don't know if you know about this. NLT probably talked about it last night on Drive Live, but I managed to catch up with her yesterday, and we hadn't seen each other, even though we'd both been doing interviews with different celebrities, but we bumped into each other yesterday, and yep. She dragged me, kicking and screaming, off to a place called the Gifting Lounge. Have you heard of this?
Ooh. Oh, that's where they take the celebrities and kind of say, you know, this is a rather nice watch, it's produced by such a person, and, well, if you'd like to take it away, off you go.
Not just celebrities, sometimes the producers, and yesterday, journalists.
Like what?
Yeah. So me
have
and
we missed it
went
then?
Along there. I think you missed yeah. it. I think you missed it. Mina Salam is where it was. So it's pretty hidden. I had to get an Abra there. And we were, like, going down the escalator to go to this room. We were just saying to each other, this is weird. Like, this is really weird. I yeah. can't imagine what it's going to be like in here. And it was like a mini department store, but free. If you can imagine
wow.
that. However, you did have to hear about everything that they had. Like, you had to hear the yeah. story behind every brand.
Okay. So you get the spiel, but then, you know, you get to take something away with you as well.
Yeah. It was amazing.
There were also some customized shoes there. That's the one I saw.
There was all sorts of things. The shoes, it's called Io, which means me in Italian, and they're not launching in Dubai for the next 6 months. You couldn't take any shoes with you. They give you, like, a little key ring. Some people just give you, like, little trinkets to remind you of their business. But the shoes are really unusual because they do a mold for your foot, so they're totally customizable. So they actually fit. You know how most people have different size feet? Like, the left mm-hmm. is sometimes bigger than the right. So yeah. they'll fit your feet perfectly, so they'll be really comfortable. And then you get to choose the leather that you want, the height, the style. Do you get these shoes made specifically for you? Which is pretty cool. Not just for celebrities, but for everyone, I think.
So, I mean, the listeners, I'm sure, are wondering, I wonder what Steph got out of this lounge, you know.
All right, let me talk you through it.
Go on.
Because I was not greedy, because I felt really, like, you know me, working yeah. class. I was like, yeah. I should yeah. not even be in this room. So I got some honey. Valky's honey was in there. And this is the guy who used to go on Suzanne's show that Sally now does.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He sources all the amazing honey around the Middle East. And it's really expensive, that honey. So I got a little jar of that, which is fantastic. And I don't know if you've seen this, Mark, but we had a little conversation about you in there. There was a woman in there from a company called The Shower Tower. And it's a souvenir, like a souvenir, but a souvenir. And it's made to look like the Burj Khalifa. And it's lavender. And it's instead of getting a fridge magnet when you travel. So it's like a luxury alternative to a souvenir.
Really?
But would you?
Yeah.
What would you do with that
yeah,
soap?
What do you do with it?
You wouldn't use it, right?
Yeah, you'd use it. You'd put it in the shower and use it, I guess. Or you'd put it, like, in your guest bathroom and it would be a talking point when people come round. That yeah. was brill. And speaking of the woman, she gets them all made in Denmark, in, like, this little old place that's been making molds for years and years and years. So that was really interesting. So I got one of those. And what else did I get? I think that was it. Yeah, I think that was
it. Food and soap. Food and soap, that's all you got from the fridge?
Oh, no, I got some monkey biscuits. They had these things called monkey biscuits, which were like little cookies that everyone's raving about at the moment, and they come in a tin. And they're almost like flat muffins. They were good. But I gave those away last night to a friend.
Right. I mean, I must say, I saw you walking out of here last night. I trailed you for a little while, and it looked to me like you got about half a dozen carrier bags. I don't think you're disclosing everything.
No, I am. You know my cat had to leave last night.
Oh, yeah, no, here's a story. Yeah, go on.
So Frank has gone to live with my sister in England, in Birmingham. So last night he had to catch his flight. Oh, I was a broken woman last night. It was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. But I had to get some newspaper to put in the bottom of his little cage that he was going to fly in. So yeah. that bag mm-hmm. that you saw was stolen newspapers.
Ah, that's what it was.
I stole them from Diff.
To make Frank's journey a little bit more comfortable.
Yes.
Has he arrived yet? Can you track him when they go?
My dad just called me and they've arrived. They just picked him up. And they said, the woman said to them that he travelled with another cat who was really noisy the whole way, but Frank was just brilliantly behaved, so I'm quite proud of him. But yeah, he's in England now. Mental.
Right. Okay. So today's the last day, of course, of Diff. Have you seen any Star Wars characters yet?
Haven't seen anyone to do with Star Wars. Not at all. But I've read a few reviews this morning online, and people are saying that this is the best one yet.
Yeah. Yeah. They are.
It's getting great reviews.
I'm excited. Yeah. I'm going to go watch it tonight.
Did you get tickets?
Of course.
Yes.
Oh, Shruti well done.
Shruti gets tickets at, you know... When everyone else can't, she manages to get them, I can tell you. But of course, it's opening as well universally across the UAE tomorrow.
Yeah, very exciting stuff. I am definitely going to go and see it.
Yeah. Well, we'll catch up with you a little bit later, Steph. And I know we're going to be hearing some interviews as well that you've done a little bit later on.
Yeah, Lynn Ramsey was in town, who is a fantastic female director. She's Scottish from Glasgow. She was here to promote a film called You Were Never Really Here, which is awesome. I watched the screener yesterday morning. It's a thriller. It's really dark, really pacey. It's won awards at Cannes. So I'm going to be speaking to her about that movie. And she also did another movie that people might have seen or read the book for called We Need to Talk About Kevin. Which is haunting. Yeah. So I talked to her a little bit about that as well. So, yeah, that's, I think, 2:30 you've got that penciled in for?
Yeah, 2:30 you can hear that interview. Steph, we'll catch up with you once again a little bit later on, and thanks for being with us on the show. So, as we mentioned, the big night's here at Diff. It's the closing red carpet gala, Star Wars The Last Jedi. Let's have a listen into the trailer.
When I found you, I saw raw. Untamed power. And beyond that, something truly special.
Something inside me has always been there. But now it's awake. And I need help.
I've seen this raw strength only once before. It didn't scare me enough then. It does now.
Let the past die. Kill it. If you have to. The only way to become what you were meant to be.
Goosebumps.
It sounds epic, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
So William Lally, our resident film critic on The Ticket. You can hear him every Thursday from 3:15. Here's his take on the film.
I mean, the question with this film, is it going to be the biggest hit of the year, or is it going to be the biggest hit of all time? That's where we are with these Star Wars films. This is the eighth film that we've gotten in the series, which of course came out of order. After George Lucas made the first one in 1977, he decided that that was actually part four. He then made five and six, and in the late 90s and early 2000s, went back and made one, two, and three. It was taken out of his hands. Episode seven became, you know, one of the biggest hits, hugely acclaimed, became a new cultural touchstone for all new fans. And now we are finally going to see the next edition of those characters.
So it's a big job, isn't it, for any director to take this on. Who's in the director's chair for this one?
In the hot seat this time is Rian Johnson, spelled R-I-A-N. So if we're looking at that previously on IMDb or wherever else and going, Rian, no, it's Rian, just normal Rian. And he has made his name as a director doing not films like Star Wars, which makes this really interesting in how he's going to handle this material. He started his career with Brick, which was kind of a noir pastiche, a film set in a high school with Joseph Gordon-Levitt that really launched Joseph Gordon-Levitt's career. After Third Rock from the Sun, he did the film Looper, again with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis, when they loop back. It's someone from the future coming to kill someone from the past, kind of a Terminator-esque series. He's done two of the very best episodes of Breaking Bad, which I was just on stage at the film festival talking about with Michelle McLaren, because she is a huge fan of his as well and really thinks he's going to do a great job in this film. And I really think that he is a smart, talented director who comes from an independent background, but has the ability to scale to this sort of material. And from all accounts so far, he has brought the goods.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure, isn't it, for a director coming into a franchise, which is probably the biggest ever in the world of movies.
Yeah, I mean, the way that Star Wars is built, it was obviously a huge hit when it came out. So this isn't like, it's different than a Star Trek, where it started off as kind of not really a hit. It got canceled after a few seasons and slowly built up its cult. Star Wars was was the biggest franchise in the world from when it started. What happened with Star Wars was that it kind of died off in the 80s. George Lucas himself abandoned it, and then it slowly built up its cult again in the 90s. So a lot of the fans now are those fans that, before those prequels came out, started rediscovering the series as kids, started discovering these books. And so the fans now, I think, are a lot more passionate and a lot more detail-oriented than the fans that were there, as you were, when that original film came out.
The cast is always something spectacular. What can we expect this time around, William?
Well, we do have everyone returning. There's John Boyega is back as Finn, Daisy Ridley is back as Rey, Oscar Isaac is back as well as Poe Dameron. Really, the big thing here is that obviously the biggest character, the most important character, and the one that people talk about the most, apart from maybe Darth Vader, is Luke Skywalker. And Luke Skywalker, as people who saw the original film know, was only in the film for 1 second and didn't even speak. He showed up in the last frame, and then we left it there. There was no Luke in that film. So everyone has wanted to know what's up with Luke. What has happened to him since that final film? And here we have him presented as the Last Jedi. The title itself refers to Luke Skywalker and what he's been up to. So really, I think the star of the show here is Mark Hamill and what he's going to bring back to this character.
And of course, Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, Carrie Fisher. I think it might be her last big screen role. I know she was also filming the last season of Catastrophe. And I know that they're going to do a lot to honor her here, as she did film it. I think the big question is what they're going to do with her character moving forward. But I do think this will be a great chance for fans to say goodbye to Princess Leia.
So there we are. That's William's take on Star Wars The Last Jedi. Welcome back to The Ticket. You are indeed tuned to Dubai I-103.8 with Struthi and Mark with Travel, Entertainment and What's On.
And we're once again live from the red carpet of the 14th edition of the Dubai International Film Festival. It is the last day and, of course, we are talking everything Star Wars.
We certainly are. That is the red carpet gala, the final one for this, the 14th edition of the festival. Star Wars The Last Jedi and director Rian Johnson. Here he is speaking about the first day on set. Can you imagine the tension of the first day on set of a movie like this?
And big shoes to fill, I must
definitely
add.
Yeah,
day one of the set, it was, I remember exactly the scene that we shot, and it felt like it instantly clicked in. We're like, okay, these are good people, and this is feels just like making a movie. It doesn't feel like this big scary machine. It was like instantly just like, oh, we just have a camera. We got these couple cool actors. We're trying to make this scene work. I remember day one feeling really, really good, actually. Before you jump into it, you feel what you would expect, which is you feel intimidated and you feel like, oh my gosh, how can I ever tackle this? But that's thinking about in the big abstract. Once you jump in and actually start the work, both with the writing and production and everything else, it really is. I mean, I don't know. It's a much more intimate process than you'd expect, and it didn't feel that much different from the independent films that I had made previous to this. It's, at the end of the day, it's the same tools. It's the same goal. You're working with, making shots and telling a story and working with that performances. So, and you're just trying to make something that, that gets people.
Sounds very cool, doesn't he? And a lot of pressure on him, really.
Yeah, I mean, he has to take up from J.J. Abrams, who did a great job with The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
So I'm quite interested, because I think the only movie I've seen of Rian Johnson is Looper. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I didn't really enjoy that as much.
Yeah, but I mean, we were speaking to Steph a little bit earlier on, and she'd been reading, reports online that, this might be the best Star Wars ever.
Yeah.
Which would be a real accolade for him, wasn't it?
It would be, yeah.
If it really goes down that well. Here he's also speaking about working with Carrie Fisher on this project.
I felt really privileged. I got to know her, man. And, she was a writer first and foremost. And we bonded over that. And she loved words. And she was just, she was just singular. She was just a force of nature. I'm so happy I got even a little bit of time with her.
Yes, Carrie Fisher, last movie, I think one of the biggest ones, and I'm really interested to see what happens to Princess Leia, considering what happened to Han Solo in Force Awakens. But actor Mark Hamill, who's also Luke Skywalker, he talks about the longevity of his character.
I used to joke with George because I said, wait a second, this whole arc of the first three movies is how Luke became a Jedi. And then he becomes a Jedi, and the movie's over. That would be like telling the story of how James Bond got his license to kill. He gets his license to kill, and the movie's over. So we get no Doctor No, no From Russia with Love, no Goldfinger.
Right.
I said, George, in a way, shouldn't now we do movies about the further adventures of Luke Skywalker? I was kidding, because, really, it was a satisfying beginning, a middle, and end. And George had other ideas. He wanted to go back and tell the prequels and so forth. But, this has all been so unexpected. And I certainly didn't expect it to last and have the endurance it's had.
I loved his comparison with James Bond there, didn't you?
Yeah, fair comparison. I'll give that to him. But, of course, Daisy Ridley is back as well. She plays Rey. And here she is talking about the development of her character.
I mean, I think the wondrous thing about working with really good writers is I don't sort of have to do that much. Obviously, I was thinking for like the year before we started shooting the next one about where Rey was going to be and everything. And then watching The Force Awakens was different because it was a different thing than I remembered. And then it became more of a, okay, where's this sort of story heading? But the writing is so wonderful. Then it's just on an emotional level as opposed to an intellectual level, because Ryan does that stuff.
So there's Daisy Ridley then talking about her role in Star Wars. There's going to be a lot of questions answered, I'm sure, tonight on the red carpet here showing at Diff.
Yeah, it is the big gala movie tonight. It is starting at 8 p.m. at the Medinet Arena. Of course, tickets are sold out, but there is a standby queue. Yeah. So if you are lucky, come queue and, you probably will get in. But that's not the only film that's on show tonight, is it?
It isn't. If Star Wars isn't your bag, then another film that you might want to watch on the beach tonight with the great weather that we're having is The Bachelors. Here's the trailer.
So who's Paul?
He's the headmaster.
How do you know him?
College.
Hopefully a fresh start will do you both some good.
I'm sure it will.
So who's that Lacey Westman girl?
You mean my future wife?
Any questions? Yes.
What's with the belt?
That's just something I do.
Excuse me. Your son is in my class. French.
Yes.
He's very advanced.
How would you like to be Miss Westman's
homework partner?
Are your parents still together?
My mom passed away. The only way you're going to feel better is if we figure out some way for you to let her go.
Want my dad back.
Bent and broken just to find you.
I want you to have the car.
And how are you going to get around? Never seen you ride a bike in my entire life.
I assure you, I am perfectly capable of it.
So that's the trailer then from The Bachelors. William, once again our film critic on the ticket, joins us. William, in complete contrast, I think, to Star Wars tonight, this film.
It's very much not on the Star Wars track. This is a much more scaled-down film that's really focused on its actors. We have J.K. Simmons playing a father with his son. And they have recently experienced a family tragedy, and they decide to go off on the road together. And along the way, they meet two women who, of respective ages, who, I guess, showed them something new about the world. And we have Julie Delpy opposite J.K. Simmons, so another wonderful actor who's in some of my favorite films, such as the Before series, 2 Days in Paris. So she's just absolutely wonderful. So I think really the star of the show here are the stars themselves.
So William, in terms of cinematography, I'm getting a feel, we're going to see some pretty cool, stunning countryside in this one.
Yeah, I think people are huge fans of road movies in general. I think they always kind of bring a certain feel. I think there's something about a long car drive that everyone can relate to as feeling transformative, even if you haven't really done much along the way. But there's something about, as great as it is to fly Emirates wherever you may be going, I do think that there's something that the open road offers, nothing else can offer. So I do think that that kind of a setting with J.K. Simmons and Julie Delpy, Odeya Rush, who's also in the acclaimed film Lady Bird, which was just nominated for Best Picture at the Golden Globes, I do think is something that people are going to be enjoying.
So that's The Bachelor showing 7:30 this evening at the Beach. So it's a free open-air film screening.
Welcome back to the show with Struthi and Mark here, filling your afternoon with as much travel, entertainment and what's on. We are indeed live from the red carpet of Diff. Now we're catching up with our Steph once again, who's been out and about rubbing shoulders with the stars and people behind the movies here at Diff 2017.
Yesterday, I was lucky enough to have the chance to sit down with the award-winning film director, writer, producer and cinematographer, Lynn Ramsey. I'd just been to see an early screening, like a preview, of her already award-winning thriller, You Were Never Really Here. Now, at Cannes this year, Joaquin Phoenix won Best Actor, and the film won Best Screenplay. So walking into this, I knew it was going to be good. It also got a 7-minute standing ovation. So I saw a screener really early yesterday at the Dubai International Film Festival, and then last night was the Red Carpet Gala. If you managed to get tickets for this and went along and saw the film, please let us know what you think today, 4001. Love to hear from you on it. Lynn Ramsey is best known for the feature films Ratcatcher, Morven Keller, and in 2011, the film that I know her best for, which was called We Need to Talk About Kevin. You might have read the book, you might have seen the film as well. I did both back then. I loved it. A really controversial subject. It's also an adaptation from a book which was written by the fantastic Lionel Shriver, who I also got to speak to back then.
There's no reason that it has to be either nature or nurture. I wrote a novel that refuses to answer that question, but I would throw out there, why can't we share the blame around?
So she left us hanging with this question. It's your job to make your mind up once you've read the book or watched the film. Is the mum to blame because her son grows up to do a high school shooting spree? Was it nature or was it nurture? All from the mind of this fantastic writer, Lionel Shriver, who Lynn Ramsey agrees is brilliant.
Oh yeah, she's great. I mean, she's funny. She's Lionel's super acerbic. I think just slightly terrifying at first, but in the best possible way. But like, she's just one of the funniest people I've met, you know? And she liked the movie in the end, even though she
hadn't. Did she?
Yeah, I mean, that was a tough screening for me, actually, because the producer's wife was really late, and it was the first time that Lionel had seen it, and we were all waiting for 20 minutes, and she hadn't seen much of the script, and probably thought, what the hell is this going to be? We had this lovely dinner afterwards, and I gave her a hat, you know, I think she still got the hat.
I remember We Need to Talk About Kevin coming out at the cinema, and love it or hate it, I remember everyone was talking about it for a good while, which is why I was quite surprised when Lynn told me that it very nearly didn't get made.
It was time with the crash, and it was a good company they got in touch, but I don't know how they got my script. It was like a sort of one of those, how did you find out about this? Like, the script, and they loved it. And then I was in New York cast, and I met Ezra Miller. I met the production designer, Tim Grimes, who did this film. And so a lot of cool people, a lot of great DOPs, and people were so into it, and it was amazing energy. But then all of a sudden it was like, oh, you know, we're not going to do it anymore because we've just had a big crash, and now we're going to do this big franchise movie. And so that was like, but I was just, you know, that was really tough, and because I was so close to just going into prep. But then I just reimagined it a bit, so I almost cut that film in paper. It was almost like an armchair edit. It was like, this goes to this, because it was like, I'd spent so much time at this point, but at that point I thought, I'm going to make this film, you know, and I'm going to need to find a simpler solution then. Maybe we don't have as much money, but we'll find a way to do it. So it's almost like kind of cut on paper, although I worked with an amazing editor, so hats off to him, because that was a real timeline, that, you know, how you do that, you know, like there was several strands, and, you know, yeah. Well, I'm glad. I mean, I think it's opposed to some, it's a bestseller, but more so like in the UK, you know what I mean, and then the US. I think people liked it there, but were a bit frightened of it. But I think that, you know, I think certainly that it's still something people talk about, you know what I mean?
Definitely.
You know, like, so I think she sort of really hitting something there, and hopefully the film had got it out to a few more people as well.
If you've seen We Need to Talk About Kevin, or if you've read the book, then you'll know it's not really for pregnant women. It would really disturb you, I think, if you read it when you were pregnant, which is why I was so surprised when I was chatting to Lionel Shriver and she told me this.
Funnily enough, when I got my agent for that book, she was 9 months pregnant.
Oh my gosh.
She read it 9 months pregnant. And I had submitted it to her before I realized that she was about to have a baby. And when I learned that from another one of her clients, I thought, well, so much for that. She's never going to represent it. She'll never even make it through the manuscript.
But she loved it, obviously.
Tough as nails, and she loved it. And it didn't stop her from buying the book at all.
That's a great story.
And, you know, a lot of parents have ended up enjoying that book, if only to appreciate how good they've got it.
Every day, it's a getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster. Love like yours will surely come my way.
Just because you're used to something doesn't mean you like it. You're used to me.
Doesn't Kevin go to Gladstone High?
I think when Lionel met Ezra Miller, who plays the older Kevin, they just smiled at each, or kind of did a devilish smile at each other. And kind of gravitated, but also were slightly repelled by each other in the most beautiful way. So I think she just really saw Ezra was a perfect Kevin.
Amazing.
It was funny when I met him as well. I was like, oh, he looks too dark. And, you know, he's beautiful looking boy, but he's like, got these dark looks. But he just was Kevin. And it was like, I met Kevin. And then when Tilda met him, Tilda was another one where I thought, oh, you know, she's so extraordinary, and like, you know, Eva's got to be quite a kind of more, slightly more ordinary, you know, but she was like loving it and wanting to do it and took me out for lunch and was like, let's do it. And so I made herself quite dowdy and smaller and physically changed, you know. And just when Kevin and Eva met, or Tilda and Ezra met, there was a kind of attraction. I took a photograph and they're looking away from each other, and the profiles were exactly the same as each other.
Wow.
One with white hair and one with dark hair. And I was like, she's seen a reflection of herself, and it was just like, yeah, that's, it just worked, you know.
Yeah, it really, really did work. If you just tuned in and you're saying to yourself, are they discussing We Need to Talk About Kevin? Wasn't that back in 2011? Yes, it was. We're talking about it, though, because Lynn Ramsey's here for the Dubai International Film Festival. She's got her new movie, You Were Never Really Here. It's a thriller. It's dark. It's brilliant. I saw it yesterday morning. Saw a screener before the red carpet gala last night, which you might have had tickets to. They're about 100 dirhams. And she was there for the movie. So was Ekaterina, who plays the little girl, Nina, in the movie. We're going to be talking to Lynn a bit more about the new film. And we'll talk to Ekaterina, too. This is her big break, really, I think, into Hollywood. And we'll see how she handles that as a 14-year-old who has to juggle schoolwork, being a model, and now being an actress. That's coming up next here on The Ticket.
Yeah, welcome back to The Ticket, the only show on Dubai I-103.8, offering you 2 full hours of travel, entertainment and what's on with Shruti and Mark. Yeah, and right now we're going to rejoin Steph in conversation with Lynn Ramsey.
We're in conversation with Scottish film director Lynn Ramsey this afternoon on The Ticket. She was here for her red carpet gala premiere of You Were Never Really Here, which happened last night. If you managed to get tickets for that and you saw this film, do let us know. We'd love to hear from you. She also directed We Need to Talk About Kevin back in 2011. And if you just tuned in and missed that chat that we had on the show earlier with Lynn and the author of that book, Lionel Shriver, you can hear it again on the podcast. Just head to DubaiEye1038.com and look for The Ticket. They all go up there straight after the show. This new film, though, was also adapted from a book of the same name by Jonathan Ames. He's seen it and he liked what Lynn did with his novella. I asked Lynn, is it important that the authors the story came from the mind of like where she takes it?
My adaptations are pretty, I suppose, unique in the sense of, like, they're not, like, straight ones, and, like, that, well, I don't think any of them have been, more than Khaled as well. It's totally off piece, but I think I've been trying to be really straight up with, you know, when I'm working in that kind of material, and that's from a book or a novella, or, and I've done original work as well. It's like, but that's different. It's just with, there's got to be a bit of respect, you know. But I think most of the novelists I work with, maybe I've been lucky or something. You know, it's like,
I doubt,
you know. Well, you know, Jonathan liked my work. He'd seen some stuff before. Like, he knew I was like, I was changing it a lot, and he just said, run with it. Like, you know, I told him a lot of my ideas, and, you know, he thought they were exciting. We totally changed the end. It's like a completely different ending from the novella. But he just, you know, he said he thought it was beautiful, which was annoying, you know.
I thought it was beautiful. I watched it this morning and I thought it was beautifully shot.
But he's a funny guy as well, but he can write really humour and real darkness. But he came to Lindsay. He saw it in Cannes. I think he was a bit stunned, but that was just like Cannes being Cannes and kind of
everyone
crazy.
Was stunned at Cannes.
Yeah, so I think he wanted to see it a second time, and he was like, and we'd done more work in the sound and more work in the music. So he said to me, I'm really proud of you, you know.
You were never really here. I got a standing ovation at Cannes for 7 minutes, which is pretty much unheard of. Lynn joked, I saw in a press conference afterwards, that it was because it was 85 minutes long and everyone was just so glad that it was quite a short film. I think it was because it's a marvellous film.
State Senator Albert Vatto, his teenage daughter's missing.
What's the lead?
He got an anonymous text with an address.
I've heard of these places. They said you were brutal.
I can be.
I want you to hurt them.
As well as that 7 minute standing ovation at Cannes, Joaquin Phoenix also won Best Actor for his character Joe.
Get up, can you hear me?
My name is Joe. It's okay, come here.
And it won Best Screenplay too.
Close your eyes.
We had so little time to shoot it. I've written 110 pages, which isn't very long, but I knew to make the movie in that amount of time. I had to sort of revise it. And that was good in a way, because I was, you know, you kill your darlings in a way. You go, like, yeah. You think something's super important and it's not. And then you start thinking about outside the box. Like, I was getting much less time to shoot sequences than I thought I could. So that kind of brought about the kind of surveillance sequence. I was thinking, it's really mechanical, it's really in and out. And sort of thinking about it a wee bit more psychologically. And then I thought, so it's very impersonal, the violence. And that was probably a way around that kind of brainwave that came from thinking there's no way I can do this using stunt guys that are, you know, they're who are lovely but wouldn't need to, you know, very cool stunt scenes and getting them round to your way of thinking and doing that in a balletic way in any way. That spurned on a lot of creativity as well. And then we did, the violence becomes more personal, and then what you see is aftermath, because everybody knows that violence is all very explicit these days. I mean, you don't need to know what happened, you know, and somehow what you don't see is just,
Your mind can make it more interesting, almost.
Yeah.
Katerina, who plays Nina.
It's okay, Joe. It's okay.
Having her on set, being a young girl, did you have to make it light on set at all? Because it's quite a dark movie.
Yeah, I mean, Joaquin and I were just taking sight of each other the whole time. Because, I mean, people thought we were absolutely, you know, like, God, you're crazy. Like, it was because it was, I think it was a way of breaking this tension, you know? Like, I mean, he helped me in that respect because, like, we had little time in prep again. And so we'd looked at some actresses, but New York is like, it's a lot of theatre actresses, but they're really good. And there was a couple of really good girls, but she'd never really done that much, and he did a few things, like, you know, played out a scene longer or did something she didn't expect, and she just went with it in a very natural way.
On set, we would always be like grouping around and having fun. We would make fun of Joaquin a lot together. On day one, everyone tried to make me feel as comfortable as possible, and like Lynn let me call action and cut on like another scene and stuff. It was like a small scene, but you know, like everyone tried to make me feel like comfortable and happy, and they're all talking to me, and like everyone was being super nice. And you know, after that, like nothing changed. Everyone was still just, it was always like such a positive energy on set. There were a few days, you know, like where the scenes would get like really challenging to film, but you know, like even after that, like, you know, even after I'd have to like, you know, cry or something, like the second Lynn yelled cut, you know, we'd be cracking up jokes again.
That's Ekaterina Samsonov, who is a young actress. She's only 14 years old, and she plays Nina in You Were Never Really Here. She was in town for the red carpet gala last night at DIFF. Again, if you did go, let us know. 4001, want to know if you've seen this movie and if you love it as much as I do. So Ekaterina is a successful Russian-American model and actress, but she did tell me it's not all about red carpets and Chanel dresses.
I go on set, and I audition a lot, and, you know, I work very hard. You know, I try to. I miss a lot of school because of it. It's, a lot of people think it's very glamorous, and it is, but, you know, it's very hard work at times, too, because, you know, I miss school, because, you know, I'm in eighth grade, so, you know, I have so much homework right now. The teachers, you know, they give you so much homework. Like, I have homework from gym class.
Which, how do you get homework from gym class?
I was still angry about that, too. I didn't understand it. He gave me a packet. He gave me more than my math, science, and English class teachers gave me. on set sometimes too. Like, people think like you just go on there and, you know, it's very like easy. It's very hard a lot of the times, because, like, you know, getting into character and, you know, just having to like cry on the spot like that, you know, it's very challenging.
She still felt like a child in a way. She wasn't like, you know, precocious. Sometimes you meet 14-year-olds that seem 23, you know what I mean? There was, I think her mum and dad have done a good job about, you know, keeping her. She, you know, she's a goofball, you know, and she's done lots of different things.
My parents have done everything for me ever since I was 2 years old. They've been driving me into Manhattan. We live an hour and a half out of Manhattan. It's like almost every day my mom would drive me in there for a go see or for an audition or for a job. And, you know, like, they've done everything for me and my brother. Like, they're so amazing and they're so happy for me all the time. And my dad has traveled with me everywhere, so my mom always stays at home with my brother. She hasn't even got to watch the movie yet, which they've done everything for me. They're like my best friends.
And I explained to her mum and dad what was going on, but, you know, I think I handled it very delicately, and also I tried to empower her at the end in a way that I don't think was in the novel.
This film, You Were Never Really Here, is by no means a movie where a James Bond type of character sweeps in and saves the day. If anything, it's more of a feminist flick with that different ending that Lynn Ramsey was just talking about there. I don't want to spoil anything for you, just go see it. If you like pacey dark thrillers, then I think you will absolutely love this movie. Just finally, I was interested to know from Lynn, in a world where we have so few filmmakers that are women, whether she thinks moving forward this is something that's going to change.
It's difficult when, you know, when I first started off, a lot of, you know, I remember I was in my 20s and I was interviewed by a woman documentary filmmaker who was like, there's only 3% in women directors in the world. And I remember I was totally shocked at that. It's quite a naive young filmmaker thinking it should be totally equal, of course. I think there's an age that's over, you know, like that kind of power that is beyond approach. You know, I think that people, it's been cracked, you know, a bit, and hopefully there's a bit of a revolution in the air. But I think this is still quite a long way to go before it's an even playing field, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, I think that's, I'm talking about not just women, I'm talking about any diversity, you know. It's like, you know, in film, I mean, that's what makes film rich, and, you know, tell different stories in interesting ways, and that just makes the world rich, you know. So you know, I think, but it's getting better. It's definitely better than when I started. I mean, when I started, it was like, you know, it was like that tiny percentage. A technical level and with the crew and all that, I never find that. I always find crews are like, I've always just like, I don't know, like it's more at a top high level, I think, you know, where just there has to be a wee bit more, you know, trust maybe, you know, or, you know, it's like the guys get asked to do the big movies, and that's just the truth.
So there's Steph in conversation with Lynn Ramsey.
Now heading back into Dubai International Film Festival, and we've managed to get a quick chat with Abdulhamid Juma, who's the chairman of DIFF, and we spoke to him exclusively, and he told us what were the highlights of this year's festival for him.
So many things. The highlights is really the TV part of the business introduced this year in a big way, and then it just clicked in, and then became a part which we're going to continue doing. The beach screening has been averaging 450 every night, which is very good. The yesterday we also gave the awards for the film Dubai Film Connection, which is also, that's the moment when people really realize their dreams, and then they get some support and then some financial support by the some of the companies which we partner with. The red carpet was is not anymore the first day, but it's really every day. Yesterday it was almost the last day, but the red carpet was as if today we're going to be bombarded with the number of people coming. I hope we're not turn anybody away. I advise anybody who has a ticket for Star Wars to be here early, because I think it's going to be very, very full. And all of the things we've been doing, the market, the workshops been full. The movies are being full. People are complaining because they have to stay in line. I know that is the probably the penalty for success.
Yes.
but they have to excuse us, because I think that's what's happening. Yesterday was the announcement of the nomination for the Golden Globe, and we got 29 of our films of the animation already with us in here. So all of that is really put together. The festival has become really, really a one solid rock ball.
And of course, this afternoon, you're going to be looking forward to the Mirror Awards as well, which you know, really honours a lot of the local talent here.
I know. Yes, I think everybody's looking forward for those awards. I hope we have nothing to do with it as a management, but it's really all up to the jury. Mm-hmm. Usually, the juries in everywhere in the world and every festivals they choose different films than what the audience wants or what the critic wants, but that is the business we are in.
Yeah.
I hope for the first time there is some agreement somehow, somewhere.
And of course, Diff 360 has been a great success, hasn't it? Is that an initiative that's going to be ongoing?
Yes, that's why it's called 365. That means it's a festival every day of the year, which is we are really proud of that picking up as well.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the final day today, sadly. I mean, looking forward to 2050, your 15th year. I mean, does it even cross your mind yet?
Oh, yeah. I think about it every day. I think of two dates, 2018, 2020, because of the expo, and 2023, which is our 20th anniversary. Mm-hmm. I think I think the management and the leadership should be aware of the details, but also really take in this place, what is the future and then what is the vision for this.
Mm-hmm. And finally, I mean, the perception, I asked you this a few years ago, the perception now of the Dubai International Film Festival around the world, and also, you know, with other film festivals such as Cannes and Toronto.
I think in the past 3 years we've been in the range of the 10th out of the 3,000, and I think in a very short time, 14 years. But Dubai is pushing us to, I think, I don't look at it as it's our 14, this is our 24, because we have really to double the effort, double the time, and then shortening the learning curve for us to be regarded as one of those the biggest 10, I think, is an achievement for Dubai and the team.
Certainly is. And that Abdul Hamid Juma, the chairman of DIFF.
Yeah, and there's also, it's the last day, plenty happening. Star Wars, The Bachelor, is a free movie on the beach.
Yeah.
But there's another movie that I think we should talk about. It's quite a big one. It's called I, Tonya.
Definitely. It's had a huge audience response at the Toronto Film Festival. And it's, in fact, the true story of the American figure skater Tonya Harding. She was a two-time Olympian and Skate America champion. And she was actually banned from the sport for life in 1994 after allegedly aiding her then-husband and bodyguard by violently attacking a rival skater in Nancy Kerrigan. Do you remember this this incident?
No, I was far too young for
it. Was you? Right. I remember it really, really well. Let's have a listen into the trailer of this I, Tonya.
The haters always say, Tonya, tell the truth. Tonya. There's no such thing as truth. Everyone has their own truth. I was the best figure skater in the world at one point in time.
You call that a clean skate? Stop talking to her. That girl is your enemy.
Waiting for the break of
day. Jeff was my first date ever. And my mom came.
You need to see a wholesome American family.
I don't have a wholesome American family.
Nothing's ever your fault. I was embarrassed for you.
My entire life, I've been told I wouldn't amount to anything. And you know what? Maybe I would.
Never could believe the things you do to me.
4.8.
How do I get a fair shot here?
We also judge on presentation.
We're gonna need to even the playing field. I know a guy shouldn't even be saying his name. Derek.
I never did this.
So there's the trailer for I, Tonya, stars Margot Robbie and directed by Craig Gillespie. You can catch it tonight at Vox 6, Mall of the Emirates at 8:15.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.